Brooklyn's Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 16th of November. A look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is Alex Block to discuss this week's local news stories. And first look at some of the headlines in Surrey this week. Closure of Guildford's Children's Centre is going to leave families without support, parents are claiming. In Woking, there's staggering increase in visitors to Surrey's food banks. And there's heartless thieves steal a World War Heroes medals a week after his death. All these stories and more as I'm joined by Alex this afternoon. Hello, Alex.
Hi, how are you?
All right, thank you. And you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
All right, shall we start then with this Guildford story about the closure of the Children's Centre?
Yeah, so the closure of the Children's Centre is actually an issue that's going to be affecting the whole of Surrey. But in particular, the closure of a Guildford Children's Centre would lead to isolated families and a loss of support, parents have claimed. So Boxgrove Children's Centre is one of 31 centres in total being considered for closure by Surrey County Council as part of plans to save more than £200 million by 2021. Basically, if the proposed closure goes ahead, families from Burpham, Merrow and villages further east of the borough will be forced to use the Belfields Children's Centre instead, which the Belfields area does have like a couple of issues with like public transportation. So several families might find it difficult to actually reach the Children's Centre. So quite a few parents have spoken out about the planned closure. Jessie Peters, 29, for example, said the centre supported her when she was diagnosed with postnatal depression. Another mum, Molly Forbes, said Boxgrove had provided support in the form of parenting advice, access to food banks, and postnatal and toddler groups run to the centre. A petition has been set up to try and save Boxgrove Children's Centre from closure, which has been signed already by 200 parents. The Guildford Liberal Democrats have echoed similar concerns, saying the closure of the centre may leave some parents with young children unable to access children's services at all. While Surrey County Council's leader David Arger said he wanted to provide centres which would provide services for children up to the age of 11 rather than 5 in an effort to make some savings. But yeah, you can get the full story on that in this week's Guildford edition of the Surrey Advertiser.
Right, it looks like we're going to get a number of these stories, aren't we, around the county as well,
yes,
as these cuts start biting. Now, in Woking, a staggering increase in visitors to Surrey's food banks.
Yeah, so this is the front page story of the Woking Advertiser this week. So, Woking Food Bank has seen a staggering rise in visitors as the number of emergency parcels given to people in crisis continues to increase across the whole of the county. So, more than 8,600 emergency supplies were handed out by Trussell Trust Food Banks in Surrey, and that was between April and September this year, so about 6 months. The figure is a 15% increase from the 7,584 food parcels that were handed out during the same period in 2017. So quite a drastic rise there. Each package contains about 10 meals, which are supposed to last for about 3 days. A spokesman for Woking Food Bank has also confirmed an increase in demand for emergency parcels from its own food bank. A spokesman said, during the first 9 months of 2018, we have provided 3 days' worth of emergency food for over 2,000 adults and children, a 3% rise in the same period last year. He went on to say, we cannot predict what will happen visitor-wise as the winter progresses, but it is interesting to note we have seen a 62% rise in food bank visitors this October compared to October 2017, a rise which he calls staggering and unexpected. He added that voluntary donations are vital for keeping the food bank open. And Emma Revy from the Trussell Trust said universal credit problems were driving the increase in the number of emergency parcels being handed out this year. So yeah, quite a worrying and shocking rise there. And you wouldn't really perhaps expect it in Surrey, which is generally considered to be quite well off.
Yes, indeed, yes. But nonetheless, there are pockets of deprivation, aren't there? And people, obviously, you know, if they find themselves out of work or even in low-paid work, find things very difficult.
Yeah.
Now, this is a terrible story, given we've just been commemorating the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the armistice. Heartless thieves steal World War Heroes medals.
Yeah, this is a really horrible story that's in the Spellphone and Runnymede edition this week. So the family of a Second World War hero has been forced to put his funeral on hold after heartless thieves stole his war medals. His house in Manor Lane, Sunbury, was ransacked by thieves between November the 10th and November the 13th, just a week after he died, aged 98, on November the 4th. His family, who don't wish not for him to be named, has been forced to actually delay his funeral in order to grant his dying wish to have his medals proudly displayed at the ceremony before he's laid to rest. He was actually one of the first men, to land on Gold Beach on D-Day in 1944. Pleading for help, his heartbroken granddaughter, Hannah Peacock, said, "While we are heartbroken that somebody would do such an awful thing, his wish was for his medals, earned after fighting in the Second World War, were to be displayed at his funeral and passed on to his 8-year-old great-grandson. They were his pride and joy. I'm here to plead with you all to look out for any information regarding either the burglary, or look out for those who may be selling his belongings on Facebook, in antique shops, at fairs, at auction, anywhere you can. The family is even prepared to pay a reward and insist the medals only have sentimental value." Hannah Peacock went on to say, "If you have a heart, let my grandpa have his medals back while we lay him to rest. I beg you, I will even pay a reward for their safe return if you have them, and won't ask any more questions. We have had to put his funeral arrangements on hold due to the burglary, but hoping he can be at rest by November the 29th. So police are investigating the matter. They said if anyone has any information regarding the investigation, they can get in touch by calling 101.
Well, let's hope somebody
really
does.
Terrible story.
Yes, indeed. Let's hope somebody does know something, or indeed the thieves have got a bit of a conscience, about so they didn't really realise what they were taking, what the problem would be, and let's hope they get them returned quickly.
Yeah.
Now, a Godalming community group have got a 79-page objection against development on Greenbelt.
Yes, as you said, the Godalming community group has filed a 79-page objection against the developers' controversial plans to build on former Greenbelt lands. They've also commissioned independent reports on the Oxford Park development, which is for 262 homes by housing developer Ashhill. Simon Sherwood, who represents the group, said, "We, the Godalming community, almost all feel that we were not properly consulted at the beginning of this process. The fact that the land has been removed from the Greenbelt and has been designated for development came as a complete surprise to most local people." He went on to say, "It feels like this decision has been smuggled through without adequate consultation." He said, "Perhaps the biggest concern is the impact of this development, if it goes ahead, will have on the infrastructure of the medieval town of Godalming." He went on to say, "They've commissioned independent reports into the transports, ecology, visual impact, highway safety, all of which support our view that the documentation submitted by Ashhill in its original application is inadequate and inaccurate. The impact on traffic, congestion, pollution, parking and road safety, they say, has not been adequately addressed in the proposed plan, and if this gets approved as it stands, it will affect the quality of people's lives for generations," they say. So the development will be situated on 50 acres of land between Aaron's Hill and Halfway Lane, and includes affordable housing, homes for the elderly, and homes ranging in sizes from apartments to 5-bedroomed detached houses. It also says a country park, a community building, community garden, and new walking and cycling routes connecting the development to the surrounding neighbourhood and also to the town centre would also be created. So, yeah, it's quite a big development, and obviously a lot of people feel quite strongly that this could have quite a big impact on God of Ink.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure you'll be following that story as it develops.
Yeah.
And finally, in Elmbridge, unauthorised encampment injunction has been extended.
Yeah, so as I'm sure you're aware, though, there's been a lot of traveller encampments in Elmbridge this and also the last one. Elmbridge Borough Council actually applied to get an injunction, which they were granted for, I believe, a month earlier this year. And now they've been granted a three-year injunction banning the setting up of unauthorised encampments and fly tipping on public land. So the council was granted a three-month injunction, actually, in August this year. But it was extended by the High Court last Thursday to cover the borough until 2021. Residents and councillors had vented their frustration at the costs with cleaning up some of the encampments, some of which have contained more than 60 vehicles, and also the difficulties there are in moving them on. Sometimes it can take several days to do so. Leader of the council, Councillor Tim Oliver, said the decision would bring relief to the residents affected by encampments, but the move was criticised by friends, families and travellers, a charity that works on behalf of gypsies, travellers and also the Roma community. The injunction basically means people caught dumping waste or trying to set up any kind of camp on land using caravans, mobile homes and vehicles could face fines and even jail if they refuse to stop. So every park, open space and car park in the borough is covered by this injunction. Councillor Oliver said it would bring relief to residents and that he was delighted that the protective junction has been extended for 3 years. We will now carry on with the work we are doing to review the security of all of our open sites so that our communities can enjoy their surroundings while continuing to closely monitor any illegal activity across the borough. There was actually 27 traffic encampments this year set up in public parks and open spaces, including in places such as Weybridge, Cobham, Claygate and Longditton. So, yeah, residents of those places often see traffic encampments during the summer. They must feel relieved that now this three-year injunction is in place until 2021.
Indeed, I think the underlying problem, as I understand it, is Surrey hasn't got any temporary sites for travellers at all, unlike most other counties.
Yeah, that's another thing the Police and Crime Commissioner has called for more sites for travellers to actually move on to.
Yeah.
In order to tackle this issue. Otherwise, they do end up setting up camp in public spaces and.
Indeed.
Yeah,
and I know there's been other places like the park in Guildford and other places that have been affected as well.
Yeah, definitely all across, sorry.
Yeah. Right, Alex, well, thank you so much for taking us through the top stories this week. And, of course, people can find out more for their local area by buying the local edition of the Surrey Advertiser today.
Great, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye for now. This has been Brooklyn's Radio News Review with Graham Laycock and from the Surrey Advertiser, Alex Brock. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser and you can keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.